Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. It says this, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." Would somebody say, "Let it rain"? Say it again, "Let it rain." Zechariah here is one of the 12 minor prophets in your Bible. Minor not because they're less significant than the major prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, but it's just the fact that their books were smaller. And even though he doesn't say much, what he does say is full of meat. Can we say it that way? And wrapped up in this verse is so much to preach on that really you have to just cut out some of the things you'd like to say and just get to where what Zechariah is trying to preach to the people of Judah. His prophecy here is to the tribe of Judah. Now you have to understand something. At this time, of course, the children of Israel were divided into 12 tribes, and at this time they were split. There were 10 tribes against 2 tribes. And the 2 tribes that were off by themselves was the kingdom of Judah. And Zechariah was preaching specifically to the kingdom of Judah, to the tribe of Judah. Their task or assignment was to rebuild the temple. And even though they had started, even though they had well intention, the temple hadn't been finished. So unlike some of us preachers, now if I was in Zechariah's place, I would just lay everybody out. I would have sheared him and say, "Why ain't this thing done?" But he didn't do that. He used reverse psychology. And instead of scolding them and browbeating them and shearing them, he encouraged them. And he says, "Okay, let's admit, we've all made mistakes. We haven't finished what we've started, but let's not worry about the past. God can use you right now where you're at to do significant things. But you have to forget about your failures. Start now and move forward." That's what Zechariah was saying. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. I realize we all have made mistakes, and I am one. I'm a failure. I make mistakes daily, it seems like. But God is trying to tell us tonight, don't worry about your past. If it's been forgiven, it's been forgiven. We can forget that. But let's remember where we're at now and how good our God is. And God wants to use us where we're at now and propel us forward to do great things and to accomplish the work that is set out before us. That's what he was telling to the tribe of Judah. And he said, it's all right here in chapter 10 and verse 1. Here's what he wants them to do. And this is the first point of my message tonight. There's only 2 points, so you can say amen to that. But the first point of this message is the petition. Look what he said in the very first word. He says, "Ask." "Ask ye of the Lord rain." He says, "Ask for rain." Ask for rain. And I believe tonight that we're asking for God for everything else but rain. Because we think rain is a bad thing. But what I feel the rain represents here in this passage, it represents God, it represents His presence, it represents His power, and it represents His provision to provide everything that is essential for you. And I don't know about you tonight, but I need the rain. I need water. Water is essential for you, and water is essential for me. We can live without days without food, but you cannot live very long without water. That's why it's very important for us to have water in our physical lives, but it's also a necessity for our spiritual life. We cannot survive without His power, without His presence, and without His provision. He says, "Judah, if you're going to ask for anything, ask for rain, but you have to ask." God's not just going to pour it down on us. We have to ask Him for it. But we ask Him for stuff, but we don't ask Him for Him. We'd rather have the stuff instead of having Jesus. We ask Him to do this. We ask Him to do that. And we ask Him to do this for us. But yet we don't ask for more of Him. Listen, tonight I think you all would agree with me. There's a lot of things in life that I want, but I do not have a need one in my life. God has supplied every need in my life according to His riches and glory. And I think we all could say that every one of us have things in our life that we do not need. Would you say amen to that. But there is one thing that I need and I strive for, and that is the power and the presence of the Almighty God. For without it, I cannot survive. Without it, I die. Without it, I dry up. Thank God for the rain. That's why I'm praying tonight. Lord, let it rain. Let it rain. See, when you taste and see what the Lord has done for you, you desire more of Him. Nothing else will satisfy if you've tasted of a true shower and an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Nothing else will satisfy. That's why I'm worried about some people that claim Christianity, but they never have had an experience where they said, God, I want You and nothing else. Because it's coming down to a time in our life where God is separating the men from the boys, so to speak. And you're going to have to want God more than anything in this life if you're going to expect to make it to heaven. You have to get to the place where you say, Lord, it's either You or nothing. But let me remind you, God is not a bully. You have to invite Him. You have to invite Him and ask Him for His presence. He will not force anything on you. But when you humbly ask Him, thank God, He'll pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Hallelujah. And I've discovered that when you ask for rain, you won't ask for anything else. Because when you ask for His presence, when you ask for His Spirit, everything else is taken care of. My mom's favorite verse is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've come to realize in my life, and the older I get, I say, Jesus, I don't need anything but You, because if I worship You for who You are, You're my healer, You're my provider, You're my salvation. And if I just worship You for who You are, my needs will be met. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to ask Him for what? Rain. But He also tells them when to ask for rain. Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Now, I don't want to bore you, but just let me give you some background to understand what He's trying to say here. Now, in that area, and still yet today, they basically have two seasons of weather. There's the dry season, which it's really dry. That's deep, isn't it? It's really deep. I mean, I didn't have to look that up or anything. I mean, that just self-explanatory. Smart enough for me to understand. But then there's the rainy season, which it... Right, thank you, thank you. See, we all understand. There's a dry season and a rainy season. But in that rainy season, it's divided also down into different things. Right after the dry season, first of all, there'll be a former rain. And the former rain that comes would be like a rain that we like around here, and that's a good soaker. After a dry time, when you're in a drought, you do not want a gully washer. You want a good soaker. Because the soaker, what the former rain does, it softens the ground. Whew. And it will open it up. That way it can receive the seed. And it also prepares the ground to receive the harder rains that will follow. You better be glad God doesn't pour everything out on you at once. You couldn't make it. But thank God every now and again He just sends down a refreshing soaker. That just drills on down from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And you can feel His presence. Sometimes it happens in your daily Bible reading. Sometimes it happens when you're praying. Sometimes it happens when you're not doing anything but just thinking about Him. But aren't you glad for a good soaker that softens our heart and that prepares us for what God is about ready to give us? There's the former rain. Then there's the winter rains. The winter rains are so hard that the ground can't contain it, and it just runs off and it spreads out into other places. God does that for us as well. There are times, and I felt it even here tonight, We had some over here that were just getting drunk in the Holy Ghost over here. Hope that don't make you scared, but they were full of the Spirit tonight. And you know what? God was pouring it down on them so fast it was splashing on me up here on stage. God sometimes pours out His blessings so much it hits you all of a sudden. And thank God you're thinking, wow, where did that come from? Lord, I can't contain it. Either take me home or slow it down because I can't contain the blessings that you're pouring on me. I'm glad for the winter rain, the good golly washer of the Holy Spirit. But then there's the latter rain. The latter rain comes mainly to ripen the fruit and to make sure that the seed is ripened. And also the latter rain, this is the point that I think Zechariah was trying to get to Judah. The latter rain, there'll be enough rain that comes in the latter rain to sustain you through the dry season. That's why he said, that's why Zechariah said, pray for rain in the latter rain. Because there will come a time when it will be dry and dusty in your life. But thank God, as our pastor preached last night, everything will be already in place inside you to sustain you through the dry seasons of life. Let's face it tonight, we go through dry seasons in our life. Sometimes we're on the mountain, sometimes we're on the bottom of the mountain, and sometimes it's dry and a barren desert. You pray and you feel like they ain't going about 5 foot in the air. You know you're saved, I'm not saying that, but you're just dry and barren in your soul. But aren't you glad that God has given you enough on the inside to sustain you through the dry season? And if you just hold on, hold on, hold on, thank God the rain is about to come. Hallelujah. The petition. He says, ask. He says, ask. What? For the rain. And when? During the time of the latter rain. But the second point is this. The promises. Ask ye of the Lord in the time of the latter rain. And here's the promise. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. There's three promises he gives in the latter part of this verse. Number one, he says, I'm going to give bright clouds. Now, I thought I knew what this meant, but I looked it up to make sure and my assumptions were correct. And as I was studying, it was taking me to other places with pilots and clouds and cloud formations. Now, I'm not a pilot, but I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm kidding. And I'm not a weatherman either, but just bear with me for a second. We're going to learn a little bit about weather. There's all different types of clouds, but I want to talk about just about three real quickly. First of all, there's the stratus cloud. And see, there are clouds that pilots don't mind to fly through. But there are some clouds they just stay away from. And remember, Zechariah said he'll give you bright clouds. These weren't stratus clouds. Stratus clouds are just high in the air. They're thin. They're pretty to look at. But they don't do a blooming thing. Kind of like some of you. You're high in the air. You look pretty, but you don't do one earthly thing. Oh, boy. Should have said that at the end, shouldn't I? No, but you're here tonight, and that means a lot. I'm joking. But a lot of church people are like that, aren't they? They wear a nice suit, wear a nice dress, put a Bible under their arm, but they don't do a blooming thing but just sit there. God's called us to do more than that, amen? We can't be a stratus cloud. But then there's not only that, but there's nimbus clouds. Nimbus clouds are just your regular rain clouds that send the soakers. But then, what I believe Zechariah was talking about was this type of cloud. It's called a cumulus nimbus. Say that with me. Cumulus nimbus. Okay. Those are thunder clouds. Those are clouds that produce severe storms. Tornadic activity. These are clouds that pilots do not fly into. It is very, very dangerous. Inside these storms, there's lightning. Inside these storms, there's thunder. And inside these storms are showers. But Zechariah said, God's promised that if you ask, God will give you bright clouds. God will give us a cumulus nimbus. God will send thunder. See, if we ask for rain, we have to be prepared for the type of clouds that bring rain. In order to have a cumulus nimbus, you have to have three things. You have to have a lifting force. You have to have moist air. But listen, you have to have unstable air. A cumulus nimbus and a thundercloud will not form unless there is unstable air. Turbulence. Turmoil. So in our life, Zechariah said, ask the Lord for rain. He'll give you bright clouds. So if God's wanting this for our life, what does this represent? Well, I believe the lifting force is the power of the Spirit to lift us to places where we've never been. We need that, don't we? Amen? But I think the moist air represents the presence of God that is with us when He lifts us to great and higher places. But then I believe the unstable air represents the problems that we have to go through. The tough times. Why do we go through tough times? Well, listen, we pray for rain and we want rain. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want the clouds that come with the rain. You have to understand, if you really want God's power and presence in your life, you will have to go through some turbulent times to get it. Salvation will cost you nothing. It is absolutely free. But if you want the power of God in your life, it will take some storms. Every great encounter that I've had with God, every benchmark in my life that I can look back and see where I've went to a higher plane and a higher place with God, and I've got more of Him, it's been after a critical moment in my life. A time when I had nowhere else to go but Jesus. A time when I was hopeless and didn't know what to do. A time when I didn't have money to pay my bills. A time when I had to pray for food on my table. A time when my baby girl was sick and I needed Him to be there. But I can look back and tell you, I'm closer to Him tonight because of the turbulent times. And I can tell you with all assurance and testify, He brought me through the storm. Thank God that I'm higher today than I've ever been. You're going to have to go through some problems if you really want His power. But see, a good rain, these bright clouds will bring the rain, it says. I will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. So the clouds will come and the rain falls. What does the rain do? The rain acts as a cleansing agent. The rain gets rid of things that were dirty and filthy and replaces it and gets rid of it. When I was growing up, I used to spend every summer out of my grandma and grandpa Brown's house. And they had a little shed where they kept the mower and stuff, and they had the gutters that would come down, and the gutter would end up in a big barrel. And Papa would catch the rainwater, and he uses it for the garden and stuff like that. And during the dog days of summer, when it get real hot, and Brush Creek was all dog days, and you dare not walk through it, it was just scum, it was filthy. That rain bucket, that rain barrel would have a scum on top of it. And we as little kids, my cousins, we knew there was clean water underneath of it. It was kind of like a double dog dare you. Reach through there. You said, no way, I'm not reaching through there. And we'd ask Papa, and I said, Papa, can we get rid of that? How do we get rid of that? And Papa said, oh, don't worry, Brian. He said, just ask the rain to fall. And when the good rain comes, it'll just get rid of all that scum, and the scum will fall over the top. And there'll be clean water that'll come to the top. Thank God, if you've got filthy dirtiness in your life tonight, if you're living a life of sin, you know what you need to do? Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. And the power of the Holy Ghost of God with His precious blood will come down and cleanse you from all your sin. Then He said, I will give you grass, grass in the field. But He says to everyone, grass in the field. I thought about that for a minute. Grass, of course, in this passage represents healthiness, represents prosperity. It represents victory. It represents the results that come from the rain. But He says, not just to Judah, but to everyone. Grass in the field. This shows us how much power one individual has over an entire community and church. Now stick with me, and I'm closing. How many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, good. I'm kidding. Just give me just a couple minutes. Now this is elementary, but stick with me, okay? I got a point. This is how rain comes. The sun shines down, heats up the water. The water then is heated up, evaporates, goes up into the air. It combines with other moisture, accumulates in the air, and then the rain falls. Right? Let's do this again. The sun shines down, heats up the water evaporates, accumulates in the air, and the rain falls. One more time, just in case you didn't get it. The sun shines down, heats up the water evaporates, it accumulates in the air, and the rain falls. You mean, so one little puddle of water can baptize a whole county? That's exactly right. It sure can. Because once it gets up in the air, it accumulates with all the other little puddles. And they fall back down, blessing everyone. Okay. The S-O-N shines down upon me. It heats up my soul. It heats up the spirit that's on the inside. And that I lift up a voice of praise. A praise of the moisture that goes back into the air. I lift my hands to Him. You lift your hands to Him. You lift your hands to Him. It accumulates in the air. It breathes in God breathes in a sweet smelling savor in His nostrils. And He says, Holy Spirit, go down to Portsmouth, Ohio and bless a few people down there. Aren't you thankful tonight that my praise and your praise and your praise can affect this whole building tonight? I'm thankful tonight. I might be just one little puddle, but thank God when I get combined with you and with you and with you, we can change the world for the glory of God. So you know what I say? Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Just think about it. How good has God been to you tonight? Think about where you've been. Think about where He's brought you from. Some of you were a drug addict. Some of you were an alcoholic. Some of you have had marriage problems. Some of your kids aren't doing right. But yet you're here tonight. You're lifting up holy hands to God. And you know what He's doing? He's pouring down His blessing upon each one of us. I'm glad tonight that God inhabits the praise of His people. So let it rain, Lord. When troubles come, let it rain. When trials come, let it rain. Let it rain. We need the rain. So I'm going to ask you tonight, are you ready for rain?